You're listening to Everything is Workable, a podcast that examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of Dharma talks, Dharma books, self-help books, and the wisdom of others. I started this podcast as a way of showing my gratitude for these teachings and to expand my own understanding. Thank you so much for tuning in. I've been meaning to do a podcast on grief pretty much since I started Everything is Workable. It's a topic I don't think we talk about nearly enough, and it's definitely something that a lot of people think of as unworkable. So a bit of background first. I'm 31, and I find that most people my age haven't actually dealt with a lot of death. They may have a grandparent who died, probably when they were much younger, but more often than not, death hasn't yet been a significant part of their experience. I, on the other hand, have experienced quite a lot of death, and largely before I was even in my 20s. I've had grandparents die, yes, but also pets, friends, and even people my age. I've experienced death as the result of illness, suicide, and accident, and I've been fortunate in that as a child, my parents didn't shy away from talking about the subject. We talked about it when my grandmother was dying of breast cancer, and later when a degenerative condition meant that we had to take our family dog to be put down. Those are the earliest conversations I remember, and that was when I was 6 and 7. So I've learned a lot from the many deaths in my life about the importance of grieving. Grieving itself is not a problem. An unwillingness to discuss death, which is an intrinsic part of life, is a much bigger problem. This unwillingness means that we don't look at how grief works as a process, how it helps us to deal with loss and significant change. And grief isn't limited to death. I think that's another big problem, is misunderstanding of what grief is. Grief is a process we go through when we experience any form of loss. For example, when a relationship ends, we're grieving. We grieve for the loss of that person being in our life, even though they are still alive, because how they are in our life now will change or possibly completely end. And we're also grieving the relationship itself, the familiarity and intimacy of a committed, ongoing relationship with committed, ongoing companionship. Grief is something that we'll all go through at some point, if we haven't already. In fact, some of us may not have considered the little griefs that we've had, like when we've lost a job or a friendship has kind of fizzled out. Ranking grief helps no one, as it's rarely an easy process, regardless of why we're grieving. Yeah, okay, one can argue that the death of a child is more difficult than the death of a friend, but the point is that it's hard, and hard is hard, and it's something that we all have in common. Today, what I really want to do is address some of the myths about grief, the fundamental misunderstandings that lead us to feel aversion to what is a necessary healing process, and also some ways that we can make grieving easier for ourselves and for others. So to begin with, there's no proper way to grieve. Obviously, like culturally, there are vast differences, but I'm talking on a personal level. You might see stuff about stages of grief, and we all hear about that. It's pretty common in like psychology, pop culture. And it can be kind of accurate in that there are certain emotions that will come up and are associated with the grieving process. But it's also misleading because grief is as multifaceted as the people who experience it. There's no particular order to the emotions that will come up when we're grieving. And there are no rules either, not actually, about what grief should or will look like. For example, grief isn't synonymous with sadness. When we're grieving, we can feel anger, joy, fear, or we might completely numb out. Some of us will experience certain stages, you can call them stages, for longer. We might skip out whole stages entirely. don't really like saying stages because it implies that we are only going to feel one thing at a time. Watch Inside Out. You can feel multiple emotions at the same time. It's a thing. And also, we can circle back on our emotions, right? We might feel a period of anger for several days, and then that might move into joyous remembrance, sort of fondness and tenderheartedness, and then go right back into anger. There are just way too many contributing factors for us to treat grief as formulaic. The object of loss, our relationship to it, our past experiences, how we relate to our emotions, those are just a few of the things that will determine what grief looks like in each situation that comes up. For one individual, how they grieve can and will be different depending on the loss. Secondly, grief doesn't have a time limit. My paternal grandmother died when I was 6. At 6, my understanding of death was pretty limited. I knew that she was never coming back, and I was sad about that, but my sadness was very much that of a child's sadness. I missed our family routine of visiting her every week. I missed cuddling with her. I missed eating Campbell's soup at her house. Just little things based on familiarity. When I was a teenager, I was soon to be graduating high school, I grieved the person that I would never get to know as an adult. The human being rather than the comforting familiarity of a grandma. I grieved the loss of never getting to know her as the person that she was. Never getting to hear straight from her the stories of her childhood in England, of visiting London during the Blitz, of the long journey that she had to take across Canada after the war to join my grandpa in Alberta. Grief will ease over time, but there really isn't a time limit. When something comes up, we do ourselves a huge disservice by questioning why we're still feeling a particular way, instead of just feeling it, just letting it flow. Which brings me to another very important thing that I've learned about grief. Grief is not a process of getting over a loss. It's an adjustment to a new normal. It's something we go through that helps us become familiar with what is often an abrupt change. And it's personal. This may seem obvious, but I want to address a few insensitivities that I've encountered around this. When I was 22, my cat died. Her name was Gummidge, and she was 21 years old. I'd found her in the alley as a kitten when I was just 1 year old. So we grew up together. I had never known life without her. When she died, it was one of the most difficult losses of my life. Even talking about it right now is kind of hard. Although mostly I think of her with great fondness, remembering her can also totally bring back the feels. So I've heard people rank the worthiness of grief. I've heard people say that they just don't get why someone is so broken up when it was just a pet. And such remarks are totally insensitive to the relationship that a person has to an animal. Not to mention, it shows a real lack of compassion for the human being who's grieving. If we want to create a society of kindness, don't police how other people should or shouldn't feel about a loss. I mean, generally just don't police how other people should or shouldn't feel. When it comes to grief, listening is amazing. Just listen. And a person who experiences anger towards, say, their spouse for dying, that is a legitimate feeling. It's not weird, it's not wrong, it's not improper. It's part of their process. Too often I hear people saying things in response to grief that have very little to do with the person who's actually grieving and an awful lot to do with the discomfort of the other person around grief and loss and not being able to handle it. Now, to be clear, it is fine to be uncomfortable with grief. It's fine to be uncomfortable with death or to not know what to say to someone whose partner of 10 years has just walked out on them or who's just been fired and is dealing with that sort of traumatic, instantaneous feeling of loss. What's not okay is telling other people how they should or shouldn't feel. Telling them whether what they're feeling is legitimate or normal. unless you're a qualified therapist and they're paying you for it, the best thing that you can do for someone when they're grieving is to just listen. Give them space. Ask them to tell you how you can support them in the process. Ask them what they want from you, if anything. I know that I'm saying this from the point of view of someone who's talking to people who probably haven't experienced a significant loss in their life, but I know even as someone who has, I can feel really overwhelmed by someone else's grief and what I would like to be able to do to be there for them. It can also be really difficult when someone tells you about a loss via email or text, which happens more and more often these days. I've got friends all over the world. It's not like we can have that face-to-face conversation. So how do you convey compassion or sympathy without sounding cliched when it's in response to an email? I found a really good approach is just to be totally honest. I tell people that I appreciate how unhelpful platitudes are. I'm not going to say something really naff like, oh, well, there's a bigger plan. That's a naff thing to say. Please don't say that. I tell people that I'm sorry they're hurting. And not in a I feel sorry for you or I'm taking responsibility for your feels kind of way, but in a straight up, I'm acknowledging the humanity of what you're experiencing right now. I think the most important thing to remember about grief is the role that it plays in helping us heal after a loss. It's a complex cognitive process that helps us to adapt, to adjust to what we might be seeing as a gap or an absence. I know my ability to grieve and the time that I've taken to do so, the time I've given myself and that other people have given me to grieve, has meant that more often than not, when I experience any kind of loss, I don't think of it as something that's missing, but an opportunity to see what the relationship helped me to gain, to acknowledge how a person has influenced me, how they exist within me, how I hold them in my heart and my mind. And I use it as a way to see our sameness, our shared humanity, because everyone grieves. Everyone will grieve. And grief is an essential element in the fundamental workability of life. Thank you so much for listening to Everything is Workable. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with your friends, or post it to social media. You can also consider becoming a patron, which has really cool perks like getting art prints or a signed book in the post. Just click the green Become a Patron button on the Everything is Workable Podbean page. Thank you as well to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world so that I could use it for this podcast. You can find more of his stuff on www.dexterbritton.co.uk. And you can find more of my stuff at faunawolfcreations.com.